Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Welcome to the lessons episodes of Success Story. These lessons episodes will be shorter clips from past guests, accomplished value community members, and myself. In each short episode, we'll feature concise and insightful, actionable conversations and tactics, providing you with real-world strategies and tips to help you achieve your personal and professional goals. If you're seeking a no-nonsense approach to growth and progress, you've come to the right spot. Settle in, take notes, and enjoy. Let's speak about what you're doing with Canva in relation to evangelism.
Sure.
And why is evangelism important for companies in 2020?
I am the chief evangelist of Canva, and I have to explain what evangelism means. So evangelism comes from a Greek word meaning bring the good news. So I'm bringing the good news of Canva. And the good news of Canva is that Canva has democratized design so that anybody can create great design. You don't have to be a trained designer, and you also don't have to buy or rent expensive Adobe products. So think of Canva as Photoshop for the rest of us. So my job is to make sure that people are aware of the good news of Canva. And that's not unlike the first job in my career. The first tech job in my career, which was evangelizing Macintosh. So Macintosh's good news was it made people more creative and productive. And Canva's good news is that it is making everybody into a designer so that they can communicate more. And that's what I do.
And why is evangelism now a role? When it before, it just seemed to be something that was a good practice, the best practice for companies. Now you sort of codified it into something that is an actual chief evangelist officer.
Yeah. I didn't intentionally codify it, but I think what happened is that people realized that, you know, simply advertising and promotion, which are forms of bludgeoning people into becoming your customer, is not as effective. It doesn't last as long. It's also more expensive. Whereas evangelism is selling your dream. It's getting people to believe in something as much as you do. So if I can get people to believe in Canva, and I think I did get people to believe as much in Macintosh as I did, they carry the battle forward for you. So with sales, the object is close the deal. With sales, the object is to close the deal. With Canva and evangelism, the object is to get people to believe.
Evangelism is something that obviously I think a lot of companies are doing now. The celebrity CEO, you see it a lot. And that's kind of what it's doing. It's removing, I don't want to put words in your mouth, so feel free to interject, but it's removing the brand from the company into an individual that's sort of being the champion. Can you explain? Go ahead.
I don't, theoretically and ideally, it's not that there's a single evangelist for the product or the company or the service. It's not even a separate department. Everybody in the company should be evangelistic about the product. So if you met the accounting person at Canva, you would see that he or she is evangelistic about Canva. There are people like me who have that in their job title, but everybody in your company, from the shipping clerk to the receptionist to the VP of HR, should be evangelistic about the product. And this is not to say that, you know, the celebrity CEO is often an evangelist for the company, but not always. You know, many times the highly visible sort of CEO as brand, that's more about the person than about the evangelism. So I don't assume that every visible CEO is an evangelist. It would be a better assumption that every visible CEO is a jerk, and some of them are evangelists, not jerks.
I like that. And I think you're 100% on point. Now, I also like that you made a point of stating that everybody in the company in a marketing environment 2020 should be an evangelist.
Yes.
But if we look at companies, I don't think that's the case for most. In fact, it's the opposite. Yeah.
Well, you know, to be successful in this perfect world with everybody is evangelistic, the start is a great product. And let's just say that not every company has a great product. So it's very hard to be evangelistic and succeed as an evangelist for something that's crap. It's hard to evangelize crap.
So how do you, so as somebody who's in their career, where should they be looking to align with companies? Like how, you know, the interview state, like where you're at a point in your career where you can have that luxury and you can align with companies that you truly do believe in, and you've had the experience. When somebody's earlier on in their career, what should they be asking? What questions should they be asking where maybe they can sort of better vet the company to make sure that they do align with the company, who they can eventually evangelize and really tie into like their whole mission?
You know, so, okay, I'm going to completely contradict myself in a minute, but to start, you know, go to work for companies that make stuff that you love. And if you love something, it's easy to be evangelistic about it. If you're just doing it for the money, take an extreme case. You know, I don't think many investment bankers love private equity. You know, they don't get up in the morning saying, how can I make the world a better place with private equity? How can I buy low and sell high, and that's going to dent the universe and make the world a better place? So it would be hard to be evangelistic about private equity. On the other hand, with a Macintosh, with Canva, it could be an electric car. You know, I bet many Tesla employees are evangelistic about Tesla, that they believe that, you know, this is a way to prevent the end of humanity. So it takes a product or service that's the high road. And that's the start. Now, I said I was going to completely reverse myself. I will also tell you that I'm not naive. So let's take this case where, hypothetical case. So you go to work for a company that sells, I don't know, pet supplies online. And, you know, you like dogs, you like cats, but you're not a dog kind of guy or a dog kind of gal or a cat kind of guy or a cat kind of girl. But you got this good job at this company. It's a startup. And you don't hate animals, but that's not your passion. And all of a sudden you get on and it becomes a rocket ship. And you're selling hundreds of thousands of cans of dog food and cat food per day, and leashes are flying off the shelf, and flea powder, you can't even keep it in stock, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And now the company's valuation is $5 billion. And because you got in early, you got 1% of a $5 billion company. Trust me, you will get passionate about pet supplies. You may even be able to convince yourself that you're evangelistic, that you've made pet supplies more inexpensive. You've made pet supplies more available to people. You sell better kinds of pet supplies. So I'm not completely naive, okay? I'm not telling you it's all pixie dust and unicorns, but the start is a great product.
I know a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this show, and NetSuite has been a huge supporter for entrepreneurs, for business owners, because there's one thing that we all know.
Business is about making money, and it's about your bottom line. And the less you spend on the nuts and bolts of running your business, the more profits you keep. But these days, everything is costing more. Supplies, people, shipping. It squeezes your margins. And I've been there, juggling multiple systems for finance, inventory, you name it. Each with its own costs and its own set of headaches. That's why I made the switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's changed our company. Think about it. NetSuite is one of the top financial systems out there. It puts your whole business on one platform, accounting, finance, the works. One data source for everyone. There's no more mismatched info. And because it's in the cloud, it slashes your IT costs. No more servers, no more updates. Just access NetSuite from anywhere. With one integrated suite, your overhead drops big time. And here's the real win. Efficiency. Everything's connected in NetSuite. Costs are ridiculous lately. Find a proven way to reduce your expenses and get better performance out of your team. It's a no-brainer, and that's what NetSuite offers. Over 37,000 companies have figured this out already. You have to join them. Right now, through to April 15th, NetSuite's got an incredible, flexible financing plan. Check it out and see the savings yourself at netsuite.com/Scott Clary. That's netsuite.com/Scott Clary. Just a quick question. Have you ever had one of those oh no moments when you realize that you accidentally deleted a huge file? Or worse, your whole computer dies. I know I have. It's happened to me a lot, but don't sweat it. The sponsor of today's episode, Backblaze, they have your back. It is unlimited backups for all your Macs, your PCs, or even your whole company. And it's really affordable, under $100 a year. If you're running a business, they take the stress out of protecting everyone's data. If you need more bells and whistles for compliance, so on and so forth, they have enterprise options too. Honestly, losing data sucks, but Backblaze makes getting it back easy. They have restored billions of files. They offer tons of restore options, including rapid recovery in an event of data loss or ransomware. And you can access your backed up data from everywhere and anywhere in the world using their web app, iOS, or Android apps. It's been recommended by the New York Times, Inc., Macworld, PC World, LifeWire, Wired, Tom's Guide, 9to5 Mac, and tons more. And best, you can try it fully featured with no risk at backblaze.com/story. They set up that link for all Success Story podcast listeners. That is a no-risk free trial at backblaze.com/story. Seriously, back up your stuff. I don't know about you, but the idea of being harassed, scammed, or even worse, all because somebody found my personal information online, that's terrifying. Our political opinions, our addresses, even stuff about our families, it's out there for anyone to grab. And did you know that data brokers are allowed to sell information on over 98% of Americans? It's scary stuff. That's why I've partnered with Delete Me. I personally use Delete Me. They're a big friend of the podcast because I put myself out there online. So safety is a huge concern. It's really scary how easy it is to find someone's details and information, but Delete Me creates a layer of protection that we all need. You tell Delete Me what you want gone, and they make it disappear from those sketchy data broker sites. And Delete Me doesn't stop. They constantly monitor the web to keep your information off those lists. It's like having a privacy watchdog that never sleeps. You need to take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. They're giving a special discount for all Success Story podcast listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/success and use promo code success at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/success and enter code success at checkout. joindeleteme.com/success.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.